WDW News Today, Disneyland News Today, and the Disney Pincast are all made possible by our spectacular sponsors, Magical Travel and Resales DVC. Denise and her agents over at Magical Travel are always ready to assist you in making your next Disney vacation even more magical. Book a trip now to the Walt Disney World Resort so that you can experience new attractions like Toy Story Midway Mania, fantastic shows like Finding Nemo the Musical, and special events such as the Epcot International Food and Wine Festival. By booking with Magical Travel, you're guaranteed the best discount rates no matter when you go. So visit MagicalTravel.com today and book your next Disney vacation. ResalesDVC.com is your ultimate stop for buying or selling Disney Vacation Club resales. If you're interested in owning a piece of the magic at Disney's Animal Kingdom Lodge or any of the other DVC resorts around the Walt Disney World Resort, be sure to call Grandma Jackie and Kin at 407-877-2919 or go to ResalesDVC.com for more information. ResalesDVC.com, specializing in Disney Vacation Club resales since 1997.
I'm not sponging for rum. It be gold I'm after.
Zippity-doo-dah, zippity-hey.
There's no turning back now.
Like a grand and miraculous spaceship, our planet has sailed through the universe of time.
Put up 2, 5, and 7.
You're just young!
Look at the guy in the goofy mask.
That's not a mask.
Sorry, lady.
I'm sure to do better next time. It was my first flight, and I'm still getting used to my programming.
You made it. I knew you would.
Hi, hello, and welcome. Welcome to our show.
Please welcome the host of the WDW News Today podcast, Tom Corliss.
To all who come to this happy place, welcome.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the WDW NT podcast. This is going to be episode number 53 for August 3rd, 2008. On this week's show, we're going to start off with some interesting and controversial news and rumors from the Walt Disney World Resort. After that, Denise and Kelly from Magical Travel are going to join me for a discussion about the flagship resort of Walt Disney World, the Grand Floridian Resort and Spa. It's an interesting discussion filled with lots of useful tips you could use if you plan on staying at the resort anytime in the future. And finally this week, John Crigliano brings back his Ear to the World segment as we listen in on the Illuminations Reflections of Earth fireworks show from Epcot's 25th anniversary. All this and more awaits this week, so sit back and enjoy this grand edition of the WDW News Today podcast.
It's time for your Disney Weekend Update. Let's tune in to this week's Walt Disney World News and Rumor Report.
And here's what's in the news this week. I will be flying alone this week just because there's some very interesting and controversial pieces of news, and I just wanted to have time to really sit back and try and explain them as best I can. But first off, let's start with some light news. Over at Epcot, rumors are coming about that the Kim Possible Interactive Challenge that was offered, I believe, last year in 2007 will be returning to Epcot, and a number of set pieces to be used in the game are already in place throughout World Showcase and Innoventions. So be sure to be on the lookout at wdwnewstoday.com as we try and get more details on when or if the Kim Possible Interactive Challenge is going to return to Epcot in the near future. Our guess is it will be. Over at Disney's Hollywood Studios, the Al's Toy Barn Toy Story character meet and greet has been completely removed, mostly because there is now a meet and greet for those Toy Story characters over on Pixar Place across from Toy Story Midway Mania. And the new meet and greet that's going to be in the former Al's Toy Barn location is going to be themed to Disney Pixar's Cars and is going to be a place for Lightning McQueen and Mater to meet with guests. So again, stay tuned for more details on that. Now, as we head beyond the parks and talk about the resort in general, from the Orlando Sentinel this week, there was the news that there is going to be the addition of Pirates of the Caribbean and Finding Nemo themed rooms to Disney's Caribbean Beach Resort. And it is currently believed that you'll be able to book those themed rooms beginning Sunday, August 3rd, and those rooms will be available for booking during the 2009 year. So if you want to stay in a Pirates of the Caribbean or Finding Nemo themed room, you may want to get on that immediately as it's not believed all that many are going to be available. Again, those rooms at the Caribbean Beach Resort. In another interesting piece of resort-wide news this week, ticket prices will be going up again for the Walt Disney World theme parks. And according to the Orlando Sentinel, Disney announced increased ticket prices Friday afternoon that pushed the cost up 5.6% to $75 for the basic one-park, one-day ticket for adults and children age 10 or older. The old price, $71, was still in effect earlier this week, and the price of a basic ticket for children age 3 to 9 will rise on August 3rd to $63, which is also up 5% from $60. Disney also raised the price of its Magic Your Way multi-day ticket packages by 3% to 8%, anywhere in that range. The top deal, a 10-day adult Magic Your Way ticket, now costs $237, or $23.70 a day, which again is up 5.3%. The Park Hopper add-on, which allows ticket holders to move among any of Disney's four theme parks, will cost $50 for up to 10 days, a $5 increase. Also, the Water Park Fun and More add-on option remains at $50, probably a result of the closing of Pleasure Island on September 27th. Also, Florida residents may buy advance tickets from participating agencies by phone or over the internet starting at $67.50 for one day. That also reflects a 5.6% increase from the current base price. Now, again, we're not talking about an absolutely huge increase this year, but still an increase nonetheless. And as we've been saying for a long time, every August this announcement seems to hit, and I don't think it's going to stop. So expect a little bit of an increase every August for years to come. And maybe if you're planning a trip, you may want to book, you may want to get those tickets a little bit before August to make sure you get a little bit of a cheaper price before you head down. In some other price increase news, it was also announced that general parking prices were now raised from $11 to $12 beginning Sunday, August 3rd. And as well, there's general price increases throughout all the parking options. You may want to check with the resort for those prices. Again, they were not available at the time I was recording this show. But hopefully we'll get those to you on next week, the exact prices for the other methods of parking. And finally this week, a number of new offerings have been rumored for 2009 Walt Disney World vacation packages. These are all rumor at this time, and again, at the time I'm recording this, none of this has been made official, but are highly likely to happen, and again, we hope to inform you more on these a little bit next week when we have some more details. Of course, we've talked a little bit about the addition of a quick service dining plan, and that will be available for 2009, and what we're hearing that'll offer guests is two quick service meals a day, two snacks per person per day. Actually, I should say per night, according to your reservation. And guests are also going to receive one refillable resort mug each. Now, again, prices on this are not even rumored yet. One thing I have heard is perhaps a $36 retail, which isn't too bad for the adult price. And then again, kids, about $14 for this quick service dining plan. But again, not a lot of details are known at this point about this quick service dining plan. Again, we'll update you next week on that. More Magic Your Way packages are going to be offering a 30-minute arcade play card with booking starting with the 2009 packages, and it'll most likely be one card per room with corresponding packages. So that's a pretty interesting offer, that they're going to give you 30 minutes of free play on a play card for the arcade in your resort hotel. An interesting offer for the Disney Resort, something that hasn't been done before. And maybe they're thinking here, if they get you in there for 30 minutes, you may stay a little bit longer and have to buy another game card, which is not included with your Magic Your Way package. All of the off-site vacation packages, which basically means Swan and Dolphin Resort booking, as well as the Good Neighbor hotels, are going to include a $15 Planet Hollywood gift card and one free round of miniature golf at either the Winter Summerland or Fantasia Gardens courses. Again, I don't know if this is something new. Some people have told me this was offered already, but that is what I was reported as one of the changes. Whether or not that is completely new, I am not aware. And if you do know, you may want to email us about that. It's also being rumored that the Magical Fireworks Voyage will not only be offered to Grand Gathering guests next year, but to all guests in 2009. And this may be yet another ploy in that upcoming Magical Celebrations year that 2009 is scheduled to be, offering guests new way to celebrate special occasions. And perhaps opening up this Fireworks Voyage, which we talked a little bit about in our show, I believe 2 weeks ago, with Denise and Kelly from Magical Travel. But appears regular guests not doing a grand gathering may be able to book that in 2009. Also, another interesting piece of news, courtesy holds on Walt Disney World Resort packages are now going to be lowered down to just 7 days rather than the current 14 days that guests are given to book. So if you get a price from Walt Disney World or your travel agent, and you don't book at that time, you're only going to have 7 days to seal the deal, or you're going to lose your held reservation. So just keep that in mind. That begins Sunday. That is official at this time. And here's a very interesting rumor that some new room categories are coming to some of the Walt Disney World resorts in 2009. At Disney's Coronado Springs Resort, they're going to be adding a business club level. We're not sure what this is, but it seems pretty likely to happen with the fact that Coronado Springs has an absolutely huge convention center and draws a huge business crowd. What that business club level is going to include and what type of rooms those are going to be, we're going to have to keep our eyes open. And again, we'll try and keep you updated on that as soon as possible. Also, premium campsites at Fort Wilderness and all campsites now are going to include cable and internet access, which I believe is an upgrade for all the campsites around the Walt Disney World Resort. Also, there's rumors of a new concierge level at the Contemporary. I have not been able to get any more details on that than just the fact that that is in the works. Hopefully, again, by next week, we'll have a little bit more on that. But it looks like there's some really interesting new programs beginning in 2009 for Walt Disney World. And I'm really excited to see all these great changes. And really, a big price increase hasn't been talked about yet. But I think the more offerings they can give guests, I think the better. And we're going to have to see how all these play out. And again, nothing here is official, but most of them are highly likely. We'll hope to give you an update on all this next week. But if you want to get more information on these Sunday, August 3rd, as well as get some 2009 resort pricing in general, please contact Magical Travel. You can get them at magicaltravel.com, and they'll have all the details on this for you Sunday when those 2009 rates for Walt Disney World vacation packages become available. And believe it or not, that wraps up the Walt Disney World news and rumors for this week. For this week's discussion segment, we're going to start our coverage of all the resort hotels around the Walt Disney World Resort, and we're going to start with the flagship resort, the Grand Floridian. And who better to join me for this segment but our good friends from Magical Travel, Denise and Kelly.
Hi.
All right, so let's get right into our discussion, and let's start off with the history, a little history lesson on the Grand Floridian. It opened, of course, on June 28, 1988, just celebrating its 20th anniversary. And it opened as the Grand Floridian Beach Resort. And it did not become Disney's Grand Floridian Resort and Spa until the fall of 1997. And, of course, the hotel is inspired by the luxurious Victorian-era beach resorts built along Florida's East Coast during the late 1800s and early 1900s. And the exterior is modeled after the Hotel del Coronado in San Diego, California, with the red gabled roofs and white walls. And additional design inspirations were taken from the Bellevue Biltmore Hotel in Bel Air, Florida. And the resort outer lodge buildings, which are, I'm probably going to ruin these names as usual, but we have the Sago Key, the Sugarloaf Key, the, what is this one, Conch or Conch? I always get confused.
I said Conch.
All right, we'll go with Conch Key. We have the Boca Chica and Big Pine Key, and all those are named for islands in the Florida Keys. And of course, you have the main building, which is actually pretty interesting. The rooms in there, Kelly, if you have a little more details on what the rooms are in the main building.
The main building is only made up of concierge or club-level service rooms. So, you know, they have standard view rooms. If you book a room in the main building, you book a standard club-level room. And then you can request the type of view you want. Courtyard, marina, they have some fabulous Magic Kingdom view rooms there. And then they have the suites. They have the Victorian suite. They have the Waltz, the Roy, and the Grand suite. There's keyed access in the elevator to go up to the lounge. They have two usually cast member stationed at desks that can help you throughout the day with dining arrangements and, you know, anything else that you need during your stay. If you are staying concierge, they'll actually meet you out front. And if your room is ready, they'll actually escort you directly to your room now, and where they'll give you the welcome folder with your room keys and any other anything else that you had set up prior to your arrival. Also, when you stay concierge, you're eligible for the itinerary planning assistance, and they can help you with all your dining and arrangements that you want to make when you're there. Concierge guests get nightly turndown service at the Grand Floridian. They have complimentary fax assistance, health club. They have the robes. The club-level check-ins are available from 7 a.m. to 10 p.m., and you can, like I said, they also help you with tickets, dining, recreation, and special events. They serve refreshments throughout the day. They do a really nice breakfast, which is, it is a continental breakfast, but they really do put out a very nice spread. And that's usually, they do coffee from like 6:30 to 7, and then from 7 to 10, sometimes 11, they'll do the breakfast, and they you know, shut the food down, and then they bring out snacks. They have a really nice pink lemonade there. They have soda, coffee, water, tea. Then they do the snacks in the afternoon, crackers, you know, goldfish, chips and dip, stuff like that. And then from 3 to 4, they bring out an actual tea service. So you can have tea, scones, the clotted cream, like all that stuff. It's really nice. And then from 5 to 7, they do an appetizer service. They have beer, wine, and champagne. The Grand Floridian is the only concierge level that offers the champagne. All the other ones just have the beer and the wine. The rooms are really nice. They've recently been remodeled. They have the flat screen TVs now. They do not have the mini bars anymore in the rooms. Those have been taken out and replaced with.
I was kind of sad about that.
Yeah, they took those out and now they just have the fridge there for you. And the Grand Floridian also has the H2O toiletries like all the other deluxes, but it's the next level up. They have, they're really, really actually nice toiletries. I love them.
The spa, they're spa,
yeah.
Aren't they?
They have like the marine, it's like the marine one for the shampoo and the conditioner, and they have a really nice foot rub. But they're definitely a step up from even the other deluxe resorts. And those toiletries are in all the rooms at the Grand Floridian, not just the concierge level rooms.
Yes,
yeah,
so
the room has everything
lovely
else.
Green shampoo.
It's really good, though.
It is.
The, they sell it downstairs in the stores.
Much bigger bottles, of course.
Yeah, absolutely. And they also have a book they leave in your room now, that resort shopping book. And there's information in that little brochure, like where, what website you can go to. I think it's H2O. Is it H2O.com? I'll look it up.
Well, what is that? The resort collection book that allows you to pretty much buy
right
everything in the Grand Floridian room.
You can buy like the bedspreads. Yeah. Right. And you can buy that Mickey lamp that they have on.
Mickey in the big top hat.
Yeah. They have that. And you can get the mattresses.
But I think the toiletry amenities are from a different website, aren't they?
Yeah, they're in that book, but you can get them at h2oplus.com. Okay. And it's the Sea Marine shampoo, and they have a Sea Marine conditioner, and it actually is a really nice line of products. But you can also buy those in the gift shop downstairs.
And they also have in that book, and in every room, I believe now, those MP3 dock alarm clock.
Yep.
That's very nice to have in the room.
And all the concierge rooms, well, not all of them, most of them have a VCR and a DVD player. And if they don't, as a concierge level guest, you can actually ask for one. They'll bring it up to your room, set it up for you. And then when you go downstairs to the third floor, you can actually borrow movies, sign movies in and out from the cast members, and your kids can watch them in the room. If you just, you know, if it's raining or if you want to take a break or if someone's not feeling good, I think it's a nice option to have for your family. I'm trying to think of what else they have. I know that once they started doing the empty fridge once in a while, and they don't do this all the time, but if you need certain things, you can ask them to get it for you and they'll put it in the fridge. Like if you need specific sodas, juices, or snacks for your kids because of allergies, you can request those through the itinerary planning office and they usually will work with you to get you those things and they'll leave them in the room for you. They did that for my family once when I was there.
And what is the usual price range for the concierge rooms?
Well, it varies, obviously
depending
by the
season.
By the season. Yeah.
And, you know, I don't know, have you found a big difference between the Sunday to Thursday night arrivals and Friday to Saturday, Kelly, or it looks like it's all the same.
Yeah, which is weird. Yeah, I don't see much of a difference. Usually if you're staying in the Outer Lodge concierge, which is only in the Sugarloaf building, that is also, I have to say, significantly, that's actually not a bad deal. There's quite a difference usually between staying Sugarloaf concierge and main building concierge. If you stay in an Outer Lodge club level room for 2008 value season, it's $505 a night. But if you stay in the main building value season, it's $665 a night. So it goes up another, you know, $160. And what you're really paying for there is, you know, the lounge is significantly bigger in the main building than it is in the Sugarloaf building. Also, the shops and the monorail and the restaurants are also all right there in the main building, where when you're staying in Sugarloaf, you have to walk back and forth from the main building. You know,
how about the offerings? Are they
the
same now?
The offerings are all the same now. They used to not serve the alcohol, but they do now, and they also serve the champagne, and they do the tea service. Okay. And I have to say, both levels of the cast members that work in those lounges are absolutely amazing. I've never had a poor experience there. They really go above and beyond for you, and I love staying there. The cast members just make it an extra special experience, especially if you stay there. You know, they seem to remember you. And I don't just mean in my personal experience, even other people that I know or clients that I have. People always talk about how great the cast members are there.
Yes.
I know when I stayed at the Sugarloaf Lodge, they have a gentleman named Robert who works there who is absolutely amazing, and a woman named Suzanne. And they really made my stay last summer great. And in the main building, people like Vonnie and me, Jay, Joe and Dan, they're all great. Everybody does such a good job there. And it's just a nice, relaxing atmosphere to sit in the lounge in the main building, listen to the orchestra playing. You know, you can sit up there and just people watch, all the people in the lobby coming to visit, especially at Christmas because they've got that gingerbread house and all the tree and the stuff going on.
Yeah, it draws in a lot of people that aren't even staying at the resort.
Right. But I think it's a very special experience. And there is something special about staying there. As in comparison to the other deluxes, which I like all the other deluxes, but there's something special about the Grand Floridian.
And those prices that you said, that did not include a 12.5% tax,
right?
That would need to be added. And the rooms hold five.
Yes, except for the dormer rooms there.
Okay.
They have the dormer rooms on the top floor that just have the two queen size beds, so they don't have the day bed. So those only hold four. They have the vaulted ceilings, and they have those balconies that are a little bit different than all the other ones. Those only sleep four.
So that would sleep four plus a child under the age of three in a crib, like the other rooms. Five plus a child under the age of three in a crib. Okay.
Right. And they have deluxe rooms there, too.
And what is the difference in the deluxe rooms?
You get the extra seating area. Like, they have tower view rooms, like in the Sugarloaf building. There's only three of them in the whole building, and they can only be booked. You cannot book them specifically. You can only request them. Mm-hmm. So it's a regular room, and then off to the side, they'll have a seating area, which would have a couch that pulls out into a bed, like a real couch bed, not like a day bed. Mm-hmm. And then a table with chairs, and then there's another little armoire with another TV, and then there's usually a door to the balcony. 6120, I believe, is the one on the second floor. And that one has a balcony, and the one on the next level does, but the one at the top of that building, there is no balcony. And those are by request only. But you can book them in the other lodges, but not on the Sugarloaf.
And what are they called?
Tower rooms.
Tower rooms, okay.
And those would be the ones that kind of sit in the corner, right?
Yeah, like in that circle part.
Yeah.
Of the Sugarloaf building, that circular part of the building. They're really nice. We needed the extra space last year because we brought an extra family member along, and we requested one of those rooms. And we were very lucky to get it. They're called Lodge Tower Rooms, but they're really nice. And it was really nice to have the extra space.
So they have a parlor.
Yeah, basically. But it really came in handy because it can sleep six.
Right.
You know, that couch bed pulls out. You get an extra TV for the kids, you know, or if people, you know, with the television. You know, not that you spend a lot of time in your room, but if you're there for a significant amount of time, you know, 8, 9, 10 nights, you might spend a little bit more time at the resort relaxing and enjoying the things that it has to offer.
Absolutely. And just getting back to a little bit of the history and story of the resort, along with the Polynesian, the Grand Floridian sits on the beach shores of the man-made Seven Seas Lagoon, and of course it's in the Magic Kingdom Resort area. And an interesting little fact, it occupies the land that was originally meant for the Asian-themed resort that was a development for Walt Disney World in the late 1960s, and even was in some guide and preview books, and just never came about with the oil crisis of the 70s. And after that, we could get back to resort overview. And one of the things I love about staying at the Grand Floridian is transportation. Of course, you have the monorail. You're right on the monorail loop to the Magic Kingdom, which is fantastic. Magic Kingdom is the next stop, which is very convenient. Of course, that means when you leave the park later in the day, you're pretty much the last stop on the loop after the Contemporary Transportation and Ticket Center and the Polynesian. But still very convenient location. Of course, there's also bus service to all the theme parks and Downtown Disney and the water parks as well. And of course, if you need to get to Epcot, you could take that Magic Kingdom monorail to the Transportation and Ticket Center, and you could switch over to the Epcot monorail. So makes transportation easy, and especially gives you a reason not to get a rental car and perhaps think about taking that Magical Express service from the airport.
Well, I like taking the boat, actually, from the Grand Floridian over to the Magic Kingdom. I think that's a nice little ride. And another thing is, they're actually, not everybody might know this, but there is no bus from the Grand Floridian to Epcot
yes,
either.
Because you,
you have to take the monorail. Well, you'd be surprised at the number of people that will walk down to the front of the resort looking for the bus.
Yes.
There is not one. You have to take the monorail over.
And while they don't have the biggest bus stop area, I think the buses do still come pretty frequently in my experience. And I haven't had to wait too long for any bus to any other location, but it is a lengthy ride when you take the bus to Downtown Disney. It could be about a half hour to 40 minutes, depending on circumstances.
I like their bus stop, though, because they have all those benches lined up and it's covered, and they have TVs.
Yes.
And a lot of the other resorts, I don't think any other resort has TVs at their bus stops.
Well, it's nice that they could keep it small because not that many people use the bus stops. Again, because if they're going to Magic Kingdom or Epcot, they're either going to take their car or the monorail, and really, that bus stop is only for Downtown Disney, the water parks, Animal Kingdom, and Hollywood Studios. So it keeps the number of people there down a little bit, makes it easier. Also, of course, the resort offers White Sand Beach, two swimming pools, one with a slide and a waterfall. Of course, that's the more recently built pool. And they also feature a jacuzzi. And of course, the other the main pool is right in pretty much in the middle of the courtyard area. And that's where the jacuzzi is, correct?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, it is. You have to, that's called, technically it's the quiet pool now. Mm-hmm. It's in the main courtyard and that's where it is. They have that's actually quite a large pool. And yes. They also have food there. They have a little bar. They have ping pong tables. They have tons of seating, tons of tables and chairs. And then they have the jacuzzi there.
And you also have the little bar on the beachfront as well. Mm-hmm. Or what do they call those? The summer houses?
The summer house, yeah. And that's nice. They keep this, and they use that a lot.
Yeah.
Because when we stayed there last July, we did the cabana for one day, and you can actually order food and drinks from that, and they'll bring it over to your cabana, and you can just charge it to your room.
And, of course, the other pool is actually shared with the Polynesian, is it not?
The waterfall pool?
Yeah.
Well,
technically, I mean, a lot of people from the Polynesian go there.
They're not supposed to.
I don't know if. I think you're allowed to. I'm not technically.
No,
sure.
I don't think you're supposed
to.
You're not. I don't think that I would be shocked if people from the Grand Floridian are not allowed to swim at the Polynesian.
No,
I don't think that they do that anymore. If there's a rehab or something going on, they'll allow people. But they're really tightened up on that pool at the Grand Floridian because now they have those cabanas there, mm-hmm. and you can only rent those out because they're not free. They used to do two for rent and two were free. Now they're all for rent. And you have to be staying at the resort to rent them.
The only resorts that you can pool hop in between are the Port Orleans Riverside and Port Orleans French Quarter because they're sister resorts. So they're the
All-Stars,
only...
All-Stars, right? Can you do the All-Star ones?
That's a good question.
Well, DVC members can pool hop.
Yeah.
DVC members can pool hop except at... Stormalong Bay and Animal Kingdom, I thought, and they have blackout dates. But besides DVCers, I don't think they're supposed to. Because that pool, the one with the waterfall, is not that big.
No, and it's fairly new too.
Yeah, it's zero entry. They have a really cute water slide. They have the waterfall, and then they have the four cabanas. You can rent those. You can do a half a day for $60 from 10 to 2, or 3 to 7, or a full day is $110. And they have a lot of stuff in there. They have padded lounge chairs. They have straight back chairs. They offer you extra towels. You get a TV with cable, Sirius radio. There's a DVD player, a CD player, an MP3 player. There's a phone call. They give you a free phone call if you need to call somebody. They have a phone in there. And then you can also call like your room if people are in your room. They have a fan. They have a mini fridge that comes completely stocked with complimentary sodas, waters, and juice boxes. They put out a complimentary fruit basket for you. And then for, like I said, an extra cost, you can order food and drinks from the summer house. And they'll bring it over. And I've actually seen people get massages there. They'll have someone from the spa come up and give you a massage if you want.
Very nice.
Yeah. And I was told recently from a client that just got back from there that she was told by one of the kids who work there. They have a couple of really great cast members who are working there. They just service you while you're in the cabana. Do you need anything? Can we get you anything? I guess, they said that they're actually going to be remodeling them again, putting in a flat screen TV and kind of changing them around a little bit. And they're actually the cost is going to go up quite a bit. They're selling them out, which is why they took the two that used to be free. And now those are booking all day as well. It's a nice way to spend half a day.
Yes.
And you can call 407-WDW-PLAY to reserve those.
And while we're talking about those recreational activities, it also includes watercraft rentals. There's the 52-foot yacht, which is the Grand One, correct?
Yes.
You have guided fishing excursions, the White Sand Beach, as we talked about, a full array of tennis programs. Of course, the Grand Floridian has tennis courts. And you have preferred access to the Walt Disney World golf courses, since you're actually pretty close to them. And there's also the one-mile-long jogging trail that leads to the Polynesian.
That's a nice walk.
Yes. It's a nice area.
Yeah. Nice pictures. Like if it wasn't too hot out and you wanted to walk over to the Poly and explore. Actually, I've had people tell me they'll get off at the Poly and walk back to the resort late at night for a nice walk afterwards.
Now moving over to dining at the Grand Floridian. Of course, we've talked about dining at all the deluxe resorts in previous episodes. If you want to check out all that, you can check out episodes number 43 and 46, but we'll do a little brief overview. Of course, my favorite restaurant is Citricose, which is on what is considered... Is that considered the second floor, correct? I know sometimes they call it the third floor for some reason. Yeah. But...
Yep.
Yeah, no, so just right. Take the stairs or the elevator up in the main lobby, and you'll find Citricose and also the nice doors to Victoria and Albert's, which you could go in if you get reservations early enough. And, of course, also there you have Narcoossee's, which is kind of all the way out in the back end of the resort in its own little separate building and is primarily a seafood menu. And, of course, you have counter service at Gasparilla's. You have the Grand Floridian Cafe. You have 1900 Park Fair. And I'm sure I'm missing something. The tea room?
Tea room.
Yeah.
They have the tea room at the Garden View Lounge. And that's also where they hold that, the Princess Tea Party. And Gasparilla's is open 24 hours a day, right?
Yes, pretty much.
So.
And it's a great, of course, in front of Gasparilla's is an excellent firework viewing area. And usually people will stop by for a drink or something at Gasparilla's at a later hour and usually stick around at those tables outside to watch the fireworks and such from the Magic
Kingdom. Tables fill up quick.
Yes, yeah. They do. You got to get there early. I've spent many a New Year's Eve trying to get away from the crowds outside Gasparilla's. And in recent years, it's starting to fill up. People are starting to find out about the little secret there.
Yeah.
Of course, you also have lounges. There's Misner's Lounge, which is on the second floor. There's a Citricose has a lounge. Narcoossee's has a lounge. And, of course, there's also a variety of shopping locations inside the main building. You have Summer Lace, which sells, I believe, women's clothing, if I'm correct.
Yes.
You have Sandy Cove Gift and Sundry Shop, which pretty much has sundries, if you couldn't tell by the name. And a variety.
Yeah, they've changed it a little bit, too. It used to have more, like, gifty stuff, and now it's more, you know, Mickey Crocs, foods, medicines, supplies.
Yeah, well, if you go to the left when you go in the store, there's still a variety of Grand Floridian-specific merchandise. And I really like, they even have their own snow globe, which is awesome, and I have to buy
it. And that picture frame they have there is nice, too. And if you're staying, that's where you would pick up your packages, if your packages are delivered to the resort. Mm-hmm. You pick them up at Sandy Cove. If you're staying concierge level, they'll actually pick them up and leave them in your room for you.
Yes. Also, another thing that I found was pretty cool last time is they actually sell Grand Floridian t-shirts, which is, again, because it's the flagship hotel, you might find a little more resort-specific merchandise than at some of the other resorts.
They have
hotels.
Some really nice GF pins.
Yes, they do. As a matter of fact, the 20th anniversary, like pins. The 20th anniversary pin just came out about a month ago, which was a limited edition.
Yeah,
I was very happy with that, of course. some of the other shops, in the recent years, they've opened a Basin store up on the second level near the monorail.
That's awesome.
What does Basin sell? I've never actually been in a Basin
it's
store.
It's like soap, and the soap is awesome. They like
it smells
cut it
so
in
the good. Yeah.
Their website's www.basinwhite.com, and they have like body butters. They have those bath bombs, and they put them in that long tube. You can like pick five for a certain amount of money, and then you can just drop them in the tub. They sell really nice stuff. They also have a store at Downtown Disney, I believe.
Yes, they do. I don't think I've been in that one either.
It's a really cute little store, and they sell like accessories for the soap. Like when I was there September, they had like the soap with pumpkins and stuff in it for Halloween for kids. They have really cute stuff there, and it lasts a long time. It's a good product, good quality.
And of course, you have Commander Porter's, which sells a variety of men's clothing, from polo shirts and such. And it's usually a good shop. Sometimes people go to eat at Citricose or Victoria and Albert's and feel maybe a little bit underdressed. And I've seen many people pick up something nice to wear right there and then head into Citricose. Although many people do go to Citricose in shorts and t-shirts.
so much for that dress code. No.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Well, I don't think there actually is a dress code at Citricoose, but usually people do.
I think Narcoossee's.
Narcoossee's does, yes.
Yeah. And I like Citricose better.
Yes, I do as well. I have to agree. Also, there's a number of special events and other things offered at the Grand Floridian. And Kelly, I think you have a little more details on some of those special things you could do while you're at the resort.
Yeah, they have quite a few little things you can do with your family. They have a Grand Adventures in Cooking, which they are getting rid of. Children 4 to 10 may attend. They need to be potty trained. It's held in the Musketeer Club, which is to the right of Gasparilla Grill. And they do it Tuesdays and Fridays from 10 to 11:45. It's around $30, including tax, and reservations can be made 180 days in advance. And you can call 407-WDW-DINE or your travel agent to help you make reservations. It's really cute. Children get to hand paint their own apron and decorate a hat. They read a story and they make something. And then they take all the kids and they put the stuff that they made on this car and they wheel it in to the entrance over in front of the Grand Floridian Cafe. And usually the parents are there waiting. They like tell you what time to go over there and you get to meet the kids there. There's actually some, I believe we have some pictures of it on the website and the forums under resorts for Walt Disney World under the Grand Floridian. And it's really cute, but unfortunately they are going to be getting rid of it. They want to focus more on the pirate adventure, we're being told, which has become extremely popular there. That is Mondays, Wednesdays, Thursdays, and Saturdays from 9:30 to 11:30. It's available to kids, once again, 4 to 12, and kids have to be potty trained. They provide lunch, so if your kid does have a peanut allergy, you need to let them know that because they offer a peanut butter and jelly sandwich with gummy bears, Rice Krispies, and a juice box. And this is the kids get these great bandanas, and they follow all these clues, and they search around the Seven Seas Lagoon for buried treasure.
I think we got to really send Luke activity. Manning on that.
I bet Luke would really like it. It's really cute.
He's too old.
Oh,
no, he's
right.
Not. He's not yes, that he is. Old, is he?
He might be able to. Yeah. Well, he's. This is only 4 to 12.
Well, I think we might be able to squeeze him in. Anyway.
This is also 180 days in advance. And like I said, you can call 407-WDW-DINE or your travel agent to make a reservation. And the cost is around $32, including tax.
I actually saw the ship for the first time my last trip, parked kind of right outside
the
building.
Marine, yeah, it's cute.
It's very. They have it decorated. It says like "Dead Men Tell No Tales" on it. It's very nice, and I think that's definitely something that I could see being very popular. And you might want to book as far ahead as possible.
I'm actually surprised they don't have it for just a little bit older kids as well, because I could see like maybe 13, 14 year old kids maybe liking that, having fun with it.
It might be so popular they have to limit it just to keep
the
demand down. A little bit.
I think they definitely want to do more with it, obviously, if they're going to be offering, you know, offering it more in the future.
Maybe a second boat.
Exactly. I think the boat's adorable. And they give you a time. You go over to the marina. You meet there. The kids get all, you know, they get a life jacket. And, you know, they get every parent gets a pager. It's a really nice time as a parent to tour the Grand Floridian Resort. Walk around, soak in all the atmosphere while your kid's doing this great tour. And then you meet them back at the marina after. You know, go have tea or something to eat while they do the pirate
thing.
It's
really
cute.
Great time to go to Grand Floridian Cafe if you don't have a pre-existing reservation, because that's probably the easiest place to get in.
Right. Yeah. They have an awesome breakfast there, too. I love their eggs.
I love their food. I've had dinner there.
Yeah,
I think their food's really good.
If you don't have an ADR for anywhere and you're hungry, I highly suggest going to the Grand Floridian Cafe.
Yeah, the food, I think that's severely underrated.
Yeah,
it's a
nice place to eat. And then the last thing they have, which is really cute, and I wish this wasn't for kids because I would so do this, is the Wonderland Tea Party. It's around an hour, and it's for children only, and it's hosted by Alice and usually the Mad Hatter. And the kids make, like, cupcakes, and she reads a story. They eat lunch, and they have, like, apple juice for tea. You know, it's like turkey and cheese, chicken nuggets, stuff like that. But once again, if your child does have a food allergy, you'd want to let them know because the menu is subject to change. Child ages 4 to 10 must be potty trained, and that's Monday through Friday from 1:30 to 2:30. It's $42.60, including tax. Reservations can be made 180 days advance through 407-WDW-DINE or your travel agent. And it's really cute. They do this whole, that each kid gets a little placemat, and all over the tables they have these centerpieces, which I so want one. It's like Alice with the Queen of Hearts and the Mad Hatter, and they have the little mouse sticking out of the teapot. It's so adorable. And they get kids get special pictures with the characters. Like, the parents do not go in. This is some, like, once again, usually they give you a pager, like, as you know, parents are not allowed. Like, this is really just for the kids. And you'd be surprised, there's a lot of boys who go to this.
And of course, it's nice to see Alice in Wonderland still a part of the resort, even though the rooms have been remodeled and the Alice in Wonderland theme is pretty much gone.
Yeah, those were awesome rooms.
We didn't talk about the Mouseketeer Club. Right?
Yep, the Mouseketeer Club is, like I said, it's to the right of Gasparilla Grill, and they're open daily from 4:30 to midnight. It's $11 per hour.
with for the 4 hour,
with usually a minimum.
Yeah,
and it includes a kid dinner. Reservations 180 days in advance at 407 WDW Dine or through your travel agent. And it's, you know, it's okay. It's a little small in comparison to some of the other kids' clubs. Like if you're eating at the Polynesian, I would really recommend that you go to the Neverland Club because it has a lot more space and I just like it better, I have to say. Right. But they do have really great cast members there. They have video games, movies, arts and crafts. They'll give you a pager, you know, but once again, children 4 to 12 and kids have to be potty trained. And if you don't want to do that, there are other places that you can use, like Fairy Godmothers or Kids Night Out. Other companies that offer babysitting. They'll come to your room and stay with the kids. You know, if you really want to go out and do something or go have a nice dinner. Kids Night Out is, they're open from 8 a.m. to 9 p.m., guests can call 90 days in advance. And all of these places have cancellation policies, too, with the babysitting.
Right. And Disney recommends Kids Night Out.
Yes, they do. They actually give out brochures when you check in. They totally recommend Kids Night Out.
Right.
Yes.
Which is funny. For in-room babysitting.
Because they have their own, you know, not all the deluxe resorts, but most of them have some type of club.
Right. And as a resort guest, you can use any of the clubs.
Right.
And the resort guests get first reservations. Whereas if you can use the club if you're staying off site, but if the club is, you know, if you might have a hard time if resort guests have taken up all the slots. So
yeah, because they do, it is controlled. I mean, there's obviously laws about how many, you know, children per adult, you know, they can have in the club and stuff. So if it's something you want to do, if you want to go to Victoria and Albert's or you want to go have a nice dinner or go to Pleasure Island, you can make arrangements at a club. Or some people like the other one because with Kids Night Out, they come right to your room.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit easier if you're going to be out later, you know, and you can set it up so that, you know, they can stay with the kids. And they bring activities and games and books. I have never heard really anything bad about Kids Night Out. You know, that they bring stuff. It's not like it's a babysitter sitting there watching TV with your kids. They do stuff with the kids. The only thing I believe they won't do is they will not take them swimming.
Yeah. And speaking of nights out, one thing you could see pretty much every night at the Grand Floridian is the Electric Water Pageant, which is on the Seven Seas Lagoon, and I believe it hits the Grand Floridian about 9:15, I want to say.
That sounds about right.
Yeah.
Again, it varies depending on what's going on. I've seen it earlier. I've seen it later. So you may want to actually ask someone at the hotel that day, and they may actually have an exact time if you want to see it. I highly suggest if you haven't seen it, you go see it because it's actually one of those things that's considered a hidden wonder because not all that many people know about it.
It's cute.
And
I like the music.
Yes, and it's the precursor to even the Main Street Electrical Parade, so it's a little bit older. Main Street Electrical Parade debuted at Disneyland in 1972, while the Electrical Water Pageant debuted at Walt Disney World, opening day 1971, October 1st.
Mm.
Of course, also, I'll leave this one to Kelly. Talk about the spa, since it's in the name of the resort now.
I love the spa there. I've used it on a number of occasions. Their website is www.relaxedyet.com. The spa is run by Nikki Bryan. And like I said, I've never had a problem there. I've had a massage, a manicure, and a pedicure. I've never had any problems. Great service. It's small, but they have a really nice atmosphere. They have really nice people working there. When you go in, they're down by the tennis court, so you can walk down there, or you can ask them to take you down in a golf cart. I've seen them do that for people. And when you go in, they have a check-in desk, and then they have products on the walls. To the right, you can go in and use the workout area if you want. And if you have an appointment, they'll take you back into this really nice lounge. It's very quiet. The lights are dimmed. It's playing relaxing music. And they give you a locker. And you can put on a robe and slippers. They have a sauna in there. And they have a hot tub. And they have tea, cold tea, which is very refreshing. They have a little lounge area with dimmed lights and chairs and magazines. So you can sit and relax. You definitely want to get there at least 15 minutes before your treatment. So you can kind of just take it all in and use that area and just relax before your treatment starts. And then a cast member will come back and get you. And they'll take you to another room depending on what treatment you're going to have. You know, they'll give you the treatment. And then you can go back and actually use the facilities again, you know, the area. They also have showers there. They have a bathroom. And, You can get yourself cleaned up, and then you can go back out, and you can either pay them, whichever way you're going to pay. You can have a charge to the room. They give you a special envelope that you can fill out about the service that you had there, and then to tip your person that, you know, the cast member that helped you while you were there. And you want to give yourself extra time to really relax and enjoy it. It is expensive. It's not like going to the spa at home. You'll definitely see that if you go to the website. You'll definitely see the costs is, it's expensive, but it's worth it. It's a very nice experience. I definitely recommend it. And I've used it more than once.
They have, spa treatments for children too, like their first spa.
Yeah.
Mother-daughter, spa packages.
And they have stuff for, women who are pregnant.
Right. Mommy-to-be. Mommy-to-be.
And they also have a salon in the main building called the Ivy right. Trellis, Ivy. Which is very nice.
And barbershop.
Yep, I've had my hair done there before. They used to do nails there, but I hear they're not doing that anymore. You used to be able to get your nails done there, but I hear the last time I tried to make an appointment for a client, I was told they had to have them done at the spa now. Last couple of times I was at the Grand Floridian, the Ivy Trellis was very, very busy because they were doing stuff for weddings and people getting their hair done for events. You'll notice a lot of women will go there before they're going to Victoria or Albert's or one of the nicer restaurants. If they're getting all dressed up, they'll go there and get their hair and makeup done. And I've never had a problem there either. Like I said, I had my hair cut and styled there in 2004, and I thought they did a really nice job. But once again, it is a little pricey.
And speaking of some other services and amenities you get by staying at the Grand Floridian, of course, there's 24-hour room service. You have there's a concierge desk. As we talked about, there's the full-service spa. There's babysitting and child services. There's pack-and-play cribs available. They offer self-parking as well as valet parking available for a fee. Rooms and facilities for guests with disabilities. You have laundry facilities and services, the beauty salon, Wi-Fi internet access, which I actually never knew about until now, and as we spoke about before, daily children's programs.
One thing, too, is when you stay at the Grand Floridian, they have special occasion amenities that you can order through private dining to be delivered to your room. And that's whether you're staying concierge or even a regular room. And they're really cute. Stuff like they have a white chocolate box, and then it's filled with truffles. But you can actually eat the box. It's made of chocolate.
Nice.
And the front of it, they have a picture of the Grand Floridian. And they'll actually set that up where they'll display it. And then they'll deliver it to your room. They have chocolate cigar boxes. They have a truffle box. They do the solid white characters. And they can have those delivered. A lot of people do the character on a tray with the tuxedo strawberries and truffles.
Yes, and they also sell...
You can get any of those things delivered to your room.
I believe they sell those chocolate characters in the gingerbread house during the holiday season.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I think...
They do.
I think there's a few of them sitting in my fridge because I'm afraid to eat them.
And who do you call to order that, Kelly?
You can call private dining. You can call... If you're in your room, you can just hit dining, or you can call the resort at 407-824-3000 and ask to be connected to private dining. And tell them what you want, that you're going to be a guest staying there. You can order it even, I think you would order about a week before you check in. I actually have a new copy of the entire private dining menu for the resort. I'll post that on the website later. They have a very decent room service menu, especially the dinner stuff is pretty good. It all comes from Citricosa and Narcoosie, so.
It's got to be good.
Yeah, it is. It's really good.
Back to the Wi-Fi. Is that in each room?
That's a good question.
I don't believe so.
I think it's the lobby.
I think you have to go down to the lobby.
Okay, but you can still get...
You can get internet service in your room by using that cable for per 24 hours.
Yeah,
so if you start using it 11 o'clock at night,
right,
then it's 24 hours from that point.
Yes.
Right. Now, and they also have a business center.
They do, in the convention center. And if you're staying concierge, they actually have a fax and other... computer, you know, if you need to use something and you're staying concierge, they'll help you with that in the main building or at the Sugarloaf Key, so you don't have to go over there.
And yes, in 1992, they added that 40,000 square foot convention center, which I believe was just renovated a few months ago. And as you said, it contains the business center. Mm-hmm. And of course, let's just talk a bit about the regular rooms now, which were, of course, renovated as well. You have that new Grand Floridian design wallpaper. You have those the new LG flat screen televisions. And what other changes? I know we talked about the mini bar was changed in each room. Now it's just the small fridge. One thing I noticed, there's far less drawer space.
Yeah.
Really, I guess they're counting on you using that pretty big size closet in the hallway. But there is a lot less drawer space, and that was a problem when we had four of us in the room when I stayed there in May.
I put a lot of stuff. If I can't, obviously you can't fit a lot in the drawers. It depends on how your family does things. Like, I like to unpack when I'm away. So I actually really try to pack a lot of the stuff. Like, I'll hang up whatever I can. I'll even call and ask for extra hangers.
Yeah.
And then I try to put the kids' stuff in the drawers and hang up the adult stuff. And then they have that shelf in the closet, too. And then they have that space under the sink. Those shelves under the sink, I'll actually put stuff there, too. Just to take up, like, anything that I can't fit, I can put under there, too. Mm-hmm. They don't have a lot. I've been hearing that a lot about the Contemporary, too. Not a lot of space to put things away.
Yeah, they definitely, the new furniture is definitely a bit of a downgrade. It's very nice, just a little smaller. I like the new desk space, though.
Yeah, it gives you a lot more.
There's a lot of outlets, which was always a problem. And I know in the cell phone era, everyone in your room has a cell phone, usually, and finding who's going to plug their phone over here, over there. And it's really nice that there's so many outlets there that you could pretty much charge everything you have to your camera and everything all at the same time.
Bring one of those. One of my clients brings one of those. I can't even think of what the surge protector strip thing. Mm-hmm. She plugs that in and then they have a whole nother strip of things, because they bring a laptop. They have cell phones. The kids have iPods. They have things they need to charge.
That's a great idea.
One of those, too, so that you can have that in the room. I like the new rooms. They just feel a little bit muted to me. I really liked the old rooms. I loved the rooms in the Sugarloaf building, that bright yellow bedspread with the blue trim and the bows. I loved that. So the new rooms, I like them, but they really are different. Like, you could see Tinkerbell on the bedspreads here and there. But it's definitely
the Fab
different.
Five are in the what is?
They're on the rugs.
Yeah, no, is it the rug? I thought it was the curtains on the.
Yeah, they're in those too, but they're in the rug too. Like, you'll see them. I saw them when I was, but remember, they're going to be taking the rug away too.
Yeah.
So, because the rug that they put down in the main building will be replaced with the
marble. Yes, we're getting
the marble
floor
that they've been having issues with. I'm hearing that's not going to happen until next year now, because they're just too busy for the rest of this year. I mean, I'd be surprised if they did it this year, but you never know.
Yeah, I was hearing September, but again, if they start it late at any point with having to prepare for the holiday season, they may just have to wait.
Because
it takes them a little bit to build that gingerbread house every year and set up the rather large Christmas tree.
Yeah. That gingerbread house is awesome, though.
Yes, it is.
And if you haven't been there, you need to go over
there. If you're
there
during the holiday season,
you
must go see the gingerbread house at the Grand Floridian.
The lobby
is fantastic. Good.
And you can buy candy out of it.
Yes, you
can. You can buy pieces of the gingerbread shingles, and they dip them in chocolate.
You can buy those characters that I can't seem to eat and put in my fridge.
And, you know, don't they have that in Tinkerbell? The character? I thought they had Tinkerbell.
I have Mickey and Donald in my fridge because I just can't eat them. There's something stopping me. I'm like...
Well, I don't think they make Tinkerbell for the room service thing. So if you really like Tinkerbell, that's a cute thing to get, because you can't usually get her during the year, I think.
Yeah. There's also a ton of other stuff there. And it's really, that's the absolute best time to be there, the holidays. And the best thing is you don't have to stay there to go enjoy it during the holidays.
Yeah. The grounds are stunning at the holidays. They have the reindeer, the white ones with the lights and everything. It's like the red poinsettias are everywhere. Mm-hmm. It's stunning, especially in the courtyard.
And it's amazing if you've ever been there when they change over to the holiday season. I remember, you know, almost like over a course of a few hours, all the flowers around the resort were changed very quickly. And it's really amazing to watch. Again, now they sort of do it over a few day period, but it's still impressive to see the transformation, especially around the Grand Floridian.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's really special.
Now, they also have... For parking, do they have valet parking there too?
Yes, there's the valet parking. Okay. The guest lot on the actual, there's parking
the
for
the
resort.
South Park is evil.
Yeah, it's on the other side of the road.
Right, it's a long walk.
So if you're valet or disability parking, you're on the hotel side of the road. However, on the other side of the road is the other lot. So
you have to stick your key. Yeah, I mean, the Grand Floridian is counting on that the average person is not going to park their car all the way over there, because if you were using your car steadily, that would be such an inconvenience to have to walk all the way out there. If you had a kid and stroller and all that stuff to walk back and forth to get your car, it's a pain in the butt.
I'm sure it was a thought because, again, you have the monorail and all those other forms of transportation. So, again, it may not be all that necessary to have the lot very, very close like some of the other resorts.
Right.
Other than that, what are the general rates for the maybe the normal rooms throughout the year? I know at their highest, they're a little over 600 for peak season.
Yeah, but the right now the value season is around 385 a night for Garden View rooms.
And of course, Garden View is pretty much considered the standard view.
Standard room.
Yeah. Pretty much, and then they have lagoon views.
And there's Magic Kingdom like you could view.
Well, no, they don't call it that anymore. They call it theme park view, and now you could see anything from, maybe you see the Contemporary in Space Mountain. If you want a view of the castle or, like, that main area, you need to tell them that when you make your room request because they call it a theme park view now. So there's a couple of different things that you can see that they consider a theme park.
Yeah, I know I had I had a room pretty much at the end of, I think it's building 7. So all the way at the back end of the resort, and you get a great view of the Magic Kingdom, and you could see the Contemporary from there as well.
There's not a lot of bad rooms at the Grand Floridian.
No, wherever the view is, it's usually pretty good.
The only one thing I tell people to avoid, honestly, is Sago.
I've stayed in Sago, though.
And I like Sago.
I wasn't really there for the view. I had a Garden View
room,
of course.
But only the back half. If you get that back half, which is close to the main building in the convention center, right. You can, there's like one dumpster back there.
You get monorail and dumpster view.
But you stay at the other end. On the other side, you get an awesome view of the monorail and you can see part of the castle. So but that backside is the only thing I really try to avoid when I'm helping someone stay there. I just tell them, if they show you, make them show you the map where your room is going to be. And if you don't think you're going to want to stay there, then that's the time to say, I'd like to wait for something else.
We had the view of the boat where the boat rentals are. So
Marina.
And it was close to the main, the main building wasn't too bad.
Yeah, it's a nice view and a good close location to the main building.
The other thing is if you're doing laundry at the Grand Floridian, there's no washers and dryers in the Sugarloaf building. Mm-hmm. So the easiest thing to do is to use that back door and go right over and use the washer and dryer in Building 7, the conch key. I know I said that wrong. But it's not very big. When I was there last year, they have two washers and two dryers in that building, and that's it.
And here's another great thing. I stayed in Building 7, which was kind of all the way out at the back. I forgot to talk about the resort launches that you can actually get from the Magic Kingdom. And what's great when there's a long line for both of the monorails, whether it be the Express or the Resort line, the boat launch pretty much lands right at the base of Building 7 and Narcoossee.
Yeah.
So it's really great to not have to wait in crowds of people for the monorail. You just take that boat, and actually the Grand Floridian is the first stop for the resort launches.
Yeah, and then it goes to the Poly. But it's a nice ride. It's really relaxing.
Yeah, and sometimes you'll get held up for the electrical water pageant, which actually isn't bad because you get a pretty good view of it then.
And something that's nice about Narcoossee's too, if you do eat there, and you can't request it till you check in, but they have some really nice, they have an awesome window section where you can watch Wishes from when you're eating.
Yeah, it faces right out into the Magic Kingdom.
But you have to be careful because what's been happening now is they put some benches out there too. So what's happening is everyone's sitting on those benches and people crowd around them. So now if you're sitting in the restaurant, you can't see over the people to see all the fireworks.
I'm going to have to do something with that because I noticed lot of people sitting out there last time I was there.
And they have those benches too on over by the opposite side of Building 7. They had a row of three or four benches because we were there from over the 4th of July last year. And there were so many people sitting out there. And I was just on the grass, sitting around everywhere out in front of the boat launch. And then
I was
going to
say the boat dock. There's a lot of room there. It goes out past where the launches land there. There's a great little viewing area as well. So.
And there's benches to sit there as well.
Yeah,
several
get
benches
there early.
You can
still.
I was shocked at the amount of people. And that was one thing that was really cool that they did on the 4th of July is the music was pumped in. Which
is something
awesome.
That happens in most of the locations on and off. There's nights where it'll work and nights where it doesn't.
Right.
So.
Yeah.
It's kind of hit or miss.
That made me really happy, though, because it was the 4th of July. I have small children, so my husband went back to the Magic Kingdom with my older son, but I stayed back at the Grand Floridian with my mother-in-law and my younger son. And it was so nice to be able to still watch the fireworks and hear the music. And it was awesome. They were like some of the best fireworks I ever saw. They were wicked good.
They were wicked good.
Wicked good.
I think with that,
highly recommended.
With the wicked good, I think we could wrap this all up. Again, if you have the money to do so, we all highly suggest, I guess you could say, to stay at the Grand Floridian Resort and Spa. And of course,
and if you want to stay there, contact Kelly because she is the GF queen.
Yes, at Magical Travel.
I love the Grand Floridian.
Yes. And of course, I want to thank all of you who voted for this discussion. I enjoyed it very much. And we invite you to vote for our next discussion. And we have a few more resort overviews as well as some other interesting stuff to talk about. So again, thank you, Denise and Kelly. And I'll see you at the Grand Floridian.
Get your headphones ready. It's time for a surround sound trip to the Walt Disney World Resort. Let's turn our ear to the world with your host, John Carigliano.
Hey, hey, everybody. Welcome to episode 4 of Ear to the World. This is where I take you to the Walt Disney World Resort binaurally. Yeah, it's very, very exciting. Well, I'll tell you what. It was a close race this past 2 weeks with the five choices. And to go back and kind of revisit what the choices were, you had to choose from Illuminations Reflections of Earth from Epcot's 25th Anniversary, Epcot's 25th Anniversary Rededication Ceremony, Celebrate America, Fireworks from the Magic Kingdom, Imagineer Talk from Animal Kingdom's 10th Anniversary, and finally, Fantasy in the Sky Fireworks from the Magic Kingdom during New Year's Eve of 2007. I'll tell you what, it was close. How close? Well, there were two ties, but only, of course, one victor. So, and tied for third place was Epcot's 25th Anniversary Rededication Ceremony and Fantasy in the Sky Fireworks at 12%. The tie for second place was Celebrate America and the Imagineer Talk from Animal Kingdom at 18%. But, of course, there can be only one victor. And that would be Illuminations, Reflections of Earth from Epcot's 25th anniversary. And I must say, being part of the whole Celebration 25 and just being at Epcot's 25th anniversary had to have been the best experience of my life. Just doing the history walk and whatnot, because we're coming up really close to Worldwide Weekend in about a month. It's a little over a month. But again, this is one of my favorite firework finales. So without any further ado, I do present Illuminations, Reflections of Earth from Epcot's 25th anniversary.
We're gathered here tonight around the fire, as people of all lands have gathered for thousands and thousands of years before us, to share the light and to share a story. An amazing story, as old as time itself, but still being written. And though each of us has our own individual stories to tell, a true adventure emerges when we bring them all together as one. We hope you enjoy our story tonight, Reflections of Earth.
Mm-hmm. We'll be right back.
showcase your room. And we hope you have enjoyed Reflections of Earth, presented by Sylvania, a Siemens company. Thank you, and may all your dreams come true.
Looks like we won World War III.
So, again, I hope everyone enjoyed that. Now, for August 17th, we have a Year of a Million Dreams inspired episode. So, you have five choices from the Year of a Million Dreams. We have the short-lived Let's Have a Ball, the Disney Dreams Come True Parade, Dream Along with Mickey, the Pirate Tutorial over at Pirates of the Caribbean, and lastly, Woody's Cowboy Camp over in Frontierland. So, you have until, I think just before August 17th to make your choice. So for myself, and I hopefully you enjoyed this week's episode of Ear to the World. So long, and have a magical week, everybody.
And it looks like that's going to do it for episode number 53 of the WDW News Today podcast. As always, I want to thank you for listening. You make the show possible and worth doing every single week. I want to thank my guest who appeared this week, and thankfully, Luke Manning did not. First time in a while we could say that. And now it's time for the big finish, giving you all the useful reminders you need to know in the coming week. Of course, first off, for daily news on the Walt Disney World Resort in Orlando, Florida, head on over to WDWNewsToday.com. And for daily news on the Disneyland Resort in Anaheim, California, and for the Disneyland News Today podcast, head on over to DLNewsToday.com. For the only podcast dedicated to Disney pin trading, you're going to want the Disney Pincast. And you can find that show hosted by myself and John Rick of the Central Jersey Disney Pin Traders at WDWNewsToday.com/Pincast, P-I-N-C-A-S-T. For the largest collection of Disney Park videos online, you want the WDWNTTube, and you can find that at WDWNTUBE.com. Some great videos of Walt Disney World Disneyland and the Disney Cruise Line could be found on there. And some big news this week, we are currently having a soft opening on the new WDW News Today Community Forum, still the best place to discuss anything Disney related in the world. And we've added some great new features. We have a great new layout. There's photo albums and so many great new features. you just have to check it out and become a part. And of course, that's also the place where you could vote on the segments that appear on the WDW News Today podcast every week. And speaking of those segments you vote on, for next week, we're going to go back to the future. And right now, we have some voting going on, and the two leaders in that vote right now are Cinderella Castle and the Sorcerer's Hat at Hollywood Studios. Those are leading the vote. So we'll probably be doing one of those next week, but of course you could always vote and change the future over on the WDW News Today community forums. And as well, we're also going to have Walt Disney World news and rumors as always, as well as another great edition of Town Square Talk, where we'll have more updates on those brand new WDW News Today community forums that you can find at wdwnewstoday.com/forums, F-O-R-U-M-S. And on that note, I think that's going to wrap it up for this week. So here goes the corniest catchphrase in podcasting. That's going to do it for this week. See you all next week. See ya real soon.
Now, I will raise the safety bar, and a ghost will follow you home. Kindly watch your step, please. Watch your step.
We have a wonderful magic trick for you.
Yeah, a wunderbar trick. Everybody, face the door. And the trick is, we're gonna make you all disappear.
Well, folks, this concludes our show. So thanks for bearing with us to the bear end, and barrel around to see us again.
What a cute ending.
Well, what do you think?
We have time to go to the bathroom before the next show.
We can't, you old fool. We're bolted to the seats.
Thanks for listening to the magic, music, and mayhem of the WDW News Today podcast. Be sure to listen again next week as we continue to bridge the gap between you and the world. This is Brian Summer saying good night and have a pleasant tomorrow.